Welcome to the History AI Podcast, where the past comes alive with facts, anecdotes, and a dash of humor. Here are your hosts, Chuck and Marco.
Welcome back to the History AI Podcast. I'm Chuck, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in time-traveling trivia, Marco.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're diving into one of the most iconic landmarks of American history, Ellis Island.
That's right. If you've ever heard the phrase the gateway to America, this is what they're talking about. We're going to explore its origins, its role in shaping the United States, and why it opened on one of the most symbolic days of the year, New Year's Day.
Plus, we'll talk numbers, just how many people passed through this historic site and what their experiences were like. Trust me, folks, it's a story of hope, struggle, and, sometimes, heartbreak.
So, grab your metaphorical ship tickets and join us as we set sail to Ellis Island.
Let's kick things off with the early history of Ellis Island, because before it became the gateway to America, it had quite an interesting past.
That's right. For starters, Ellis Island wasn't always called Ellis Island. For centuries, it was known as Oyster Island.
Which makes sense because the waters around it were teeming with, you guessed it, oysters. Native American tribes, particularly the Lenape, harvested these oyster beds long before European settlers arrived.
And it wasn't just a seafood buffet. The Lenape used the island as a seasonal fishing site, and it held cultural and spiritual significance for them. But, like so much of American history, that changed when the Europeans showed up.
Fast forward to the colonial period, and the island started to see a new use. By the early 1700s, it had a grimmer reputation. It became known as Gibbet Island because it was used to execute and display pirates.
Yeah, if you were sailing into New York Harbor back then, you might have seen the bodies of pirates hanging from gibbets, those wooden structures used to showcase criminals as a warning. Imagine the first thing you see being a pirate scarecrow.
Not exactly a warm welcome to the New World. But things changed again in the late 1700s when Samuel Ellis, a New York merchant, bought the island.
That's where it finally gets its name, right?
Exactly. Samuel Ellis originally bought it to establish a tavern for fishermen and other harbor workers. Think of it as an 18th century rest stop. After Ellis passed away, his family held onto the land for a while, but by 1808, they sold it to the state of New York, which then passed it along to the federal government.
That's when it really started to take on its modern role. In the early 1800s, New York Harbor was one of the busiest ports in the world, and the federal government needed a spot to defend it.
So Ellis Island became part of the harbor's defense system. They built Fort Gibson there, which was part of a network of forts designed to protect New York from potential naval attacks, especially during the War of 1812.
But the fort wasn't used for long, right?
Correct. By the mid-1800s, Ellis Island's strategic importance as a military site had faded, and the federal government shifted focus. Immigration was skyrocketing, and they needed a dedicated processing station to handle the influx.
Before Ellis Island, immigrants arriving in New York were processed at Castle Garden, a former fort-turned-immigration depot located in Manhattan. But by the 1890s, Castle Garden was overwhelmed. It couldn't keep up with the sheer number of people pouring into the country.
That's when Ellis Island came into the picture. Its isolated location in the harbor made it ideal. It was close to New York City, but still separated enough to handle large groups of people and conduct medical inspections without immediate public exposure.
So, in 1890, construction began to transform the island into what would become the nation's busiest immigration station. They added new land using landfill, doubling the island's size to prepare for its new role.
And by January 1, 1892, Ellis Island was ready to open its doors, well, metaphorically speaking, to the world.
January 1, 1892, the date that marked a new chapter in American history. That's the day Ellis Island officially opened its doors as the first federal immigration station.
It was a big deal. Immigration to the United States was already booming in the late 19th century. People from across Europe were leaving behind economic hardships, political unrest, and even persecution to start fresh in America. The country was seen as a land of opportunity, a place where hard work could lead to a better life.
And let's not forget the very first immigrant to pass through Ellis Island, Annie Moore.
Annie Moore was a 15-year-old girl from County Cork, Ireland. She arrived with her two younger brothers, Anthony and Philip, after a 12-day journey aboard the steamship Nevada. Imagine how overwhelming it must have been for a teenager to land in a foreign country with her family, not knowing what the future held.
Overwhelming for sure, but Annie became a symbol of hope. She was greeted with flowers, applause, and a $10 gold coin, the first immigrant to be officially processed through the new station.
It's worth mentioning that Annie's story highlights the unique role Ellis Island played. For immigrants, this wasn't just a physical destination, it was a threshold. It represented the moment they left the old world behind and stepped into their new lives.
But the experience wasn't glamorous for most. On opening day, the station processed about 700 immigrants, and by the end of 1892, roughly 450,000 people had come through Ellis Island.
The process wasn't easy. Immigrants first had to disembark from their ships and take small ferries to Ellis Island. Once there, they faced long lines in the registry room, also called the Great Hall.
And that was just the start. Immigrants underwent a two-step inspection process, medical and legal. The medical exam was meant to ensure they weren't bringing in contagious diseases like trachoma or tuberculosis.
The doctors had a system down to a science. They used chalk to mark symbols on immigrants' clothing. For example, an L meant lameness, H for heart issues, and X for mental health concerns. Those marked had to undergo further examination.
If they passed the medical exam, they moved on to the legal inspection. Here, officials asked a series of questions to verify their identity, their ability to support themselves, and whether they had family waiting for them.
It sounds like a lot, and it was, but most immigrants made it through fairly quickly. The average processing time for those who weren't flagged for further inspection was about 3 to 5 hours.
Still, not everyone was so lucky. About 2% of immigrants were denied entry and sent back to their home countries. That might not sound like much, but imagine being part of that small percentage. Families were sometimes separated, and the disappointment must have been devastating.
Despite those hardships, for the vast majority, about 98%, Ellis Island was the gateway to a new life. By its first anniversary in January 1893, nearly 500,000 immigrants had been processed, and Ellis Island was well on its way to becoming the busiest immigration station in the world.
And it wasn't slowing down anytime soon. In the years to come, Ellis Island would handle an ever-increasing flood of humanity, becoming a symbol of the American dream.
Let's take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Ellis Island's legacy isn't just about processing immigrants. It's about the profound impact it had on the social, cultural, and economic fabric of the United States.
Absolutely. Between its opening in 1892 and its closure in 1954, Ellis Island processed more than 12 million immigrants. That's staggering. And when you consider their descendants, we're talking about over 100 million Americans, roughly a third of the U.S. population today, who can trace their roots back to someone who came through Ellis Island.
But Ellis Island's story is more complex than just the sheer numbers. For decades, it was the busiest immigration station in the world. At its peak in 1907, more than 1.25 million immigrants were processed in a single year, with a record-breaking 11,747 people coming through on a single day, April 17, 1907.
Can you imagine the logistics of that? Thousands of people, speaking dozens of languages, with different cultural norms and personal stories, all converging on this one little island in New York Harbor. It must have been a whirlwind for both the immigrants and the staff.
It really was. And Ellis Island was more than just a processing center, it was a microcosm of the challenges and opportunities of immigration. For many, it symbolized hope and freedom, but for others, it was a place of anxiety and even heartbreak.
And then there's the symbolism of Ellis Island itself. For immigrants, it wasn't just the gateway to America, it was the start of a new life. But that life didn't come without struggle.
Right. Many of the immigrants who passed through Ellis Island had very little money, spoke little to no English, and faced intense prejudice once they left the island. Despite those challenges, they worked hard to build lives for themselves and their families, contributing to the country in countless ways.
And let's not forget the diversity they brought. Between 1892 and 1924, the height of Ellis Island's operations, immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe made up the majority of arrivals. Italians, Poles, Russians, Greeks, and many others brought their traditions, languages, and cuisines, enriching American culture.
Exactly. These communities transformed the United States, building railroads, working in factories, and contributing to the growth of cities. Their influence can still be seen today in everything from our food to our holidays to our music.
But Ellis Island wasn't just about the success stories. Its history also reflects the darker side of immigration policy. By the 1920s, restrictive laws like the Immigration Act of 1924 significantly reduced the number of arrivals, effectively ending the open-door policy that had characterized the late 19th and early 20th centuries.
That's when Ellis Island began to shift from a place of welcome to a place of exclusion. It became more of a detention center for those facing deportation or trying to navigate increasingly strict immigration laws.
By the time Ellis Island closed as an immigration station in 1954, air travel had made its operations obsolete. The majority of immigrants were now arriving at airports, not by ship.
But that wasn't the end of its story. In 1965, President Lyndon B. Johnson declared Ellis Island part of the Statue of Liberty National Monument, linking it forever with the iconic symbol of freedom and opportunity.
Then, in 1990, after years of restoration, the main building was reopened as the Ellis Island Immigration Museum. Today, it serves as a place to honor the immigrant experience and educate future generations about this crucial chapter in American history.
The museum is incredible. It's full of personal stories, photographs, and artifacts from immigrants who passed through Ellis Island. Visitors can even search the records to see if their ancestors came through the station.
And that's part of what makes Ellis Island's legacy so powerful. It's personal. It connects us to our past and reminds us of the resilience and determination of those who came before us.
It's not just a place, it's a symbol of what America aspires to be, a nation of immigrants, built on the dreams and contributions of people from all over the world.
And its legacy endures, not just in the museum or the descendants of those 12 million immigrants, but in the ongoing story of immigration to the United States. It's a reminder that every wave of newcomers has shaped the nation in profound ways.
So, whether your ancestors came through Ellis Island or not, its story is part of all of our history. It's a testament to the challenges and triumphs of building this great nation.
Well said, Marco. Ellis Island is more than a historical site. It's a monument to the courage, hope, and resilience of those who dreamed of a better life. So, Marco, final thoughts on Ellis Island?
It's more than just a building or a place. It's a symbol of the enduring hope for a better future.
Well said. And for all of you listening, whether your ancestors came through Ellis Island or not, it's a reminder of the journeys that shaped this country.
Thanks for joining us on this trip back in time. Remember to rate, subscribe, and share the podcast.
A 5-star review helps us reach more history buffs like you. And don't forget, you can suggest topics or just say hi on our social media pages.
Plus, check out our merch store. Links in the show notes.
Until next time, I'm Chuck.
And I'm Marco. And this has been the History AI Podcast.
Looking for the perfect way to show appreciation for the incredible mom in your life? Discover Exhausted Moms, a coloring journey to relaxation and humor, the coloring book that speaks directly to the heart of motherhood. Gift her an escape into pages of laughter, empowerment, and moments of tranquility. With Exhausted Moms, she'll find a blend of whimsical illustrations and inspiring quotes that celebrate her daily triumphs and challenges. Crafted with love from images I created for the mother of my children, each page offers a space for creativity and relaxation, a reminder that she's doing an amazing job, even on the toughest days. Give the gift of laughter, peace, and recognition. Exhausted Moms isn't just a coloring book, it's a hug, a nod of understanding, and a token of appreciation for everything she does. Surprise her with Exhausted Moms today and watch her face light up with joy. Because every mom deserves a moment to herself, wrapped in the colors of love and support.